Are we on the air?
No.
Okay.
Puff Theology Podcast, brought to you by the good folks at Distinctive Diamonds. The show you're listening to is rated R for religion. No cuss words on this program.
All right, whatever.
I'm a purist.
Flip us on.
Just you download it and cross your fingers.
Flip them off.
Please edit out what I'm reprimanding someone for no reason.
Sean, I'm not having intercourse.
Hashtag get weird. I'm sorry. Make sure you edit that out. I'm embarrassed.
It's not going to be your average Bob and Tom today, boys.
All right, everybody. The show is on the air.
And ladies and gentlemen, we want to welcome you back for the, yes, that's right, my friends. It's not the 24th. It's not the 27th. It's not the 41st. It is the Reggie Miller of podcast episodes, my friends. That means it's episode. You guys know Reggie Miller's number?
No.
Oh, 38. Come on.
No, I watched.
Thank you. Yeah. It's episode 31. Yeah. Ladies and gents, it's the Reggie Miller episode, although I'm a little bit sad that I called it that because I have no love for Reggie Miller.
I've watched sports ball before.
Sports balls?
Yeah.
All right. Eric, you can't comment on sports anymore. Becca, do you watch the pro basketball? Do you know the pro basketball?
I do. I'm an all-day, all-night Laker fan.
Are you now?
I am.
Been a tough couple years for you.
It's been a tough couple years, but we're in a kind of a growing pattern right now.
Becca, no talking for you. We haven't introduced you yet.
Yep.
You just stay quiet until we introduce you. You want to make a big splash?
Yep.
Big splash.
Big splash. That's probably not. Probably true.
Test one, two. I'm still adjusting levels, making sure everything's clear. Test one, two. Talk into the center of your microphone.
Test check 7-9. You can edit these out, right?
You never know what's going to make the cut. You never know. You download it and cross your fingers.
I'm looking forward to your anal.
Stand by.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to Pub Theology, brought to you by
Distinctive Diamonds. If you're looking to get a ring, a necklace, a bracelet, whatever you need, there's no other place to go than the one, the only, the Distinctive Diamonds. Yeah! It is episode 31.
Everybody know what 31 stands for?
Reggie Miller.
Ooh, nice job pulling that out.
Impressive sports balls fan.
Big Thank Pacer you. Fan, right?
Big time. I watch sports ball every night.
If you don't know, it's the podcast thing with the Pup Theology. So, Pastor Darren, if you don't mind introducing everybody here, because not everybody knows everybody.
You know, Dave, I would love to. Yeah. I am Darren Earlywine, known as the Pub Pastor. I'm the guy who did not get fired from E9-1, but walked away with both thumbs up, saying, hey.
What good, a great church. Great what a great pastor.
Great stuff. Wish them the best. And now I run pubtheologyindy.com. To my left, your right, is my good friend Eric Maitland.
Hey, Eric Maitland. Now, how are we doing?
Eric is the self-proclaimed king of all cover tunes for cover bands all over the Indianapolis metropolitan
area.
He's
my yellow rickshaw, right?
That's it. If you need a rickshaw and you want it to be yellow and they want you, you want them to rock you all night.
This is true.
Like Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
It's my yellow rickshaw.
He is for hire.
Yes, he is. He is also the lead worship pastor or worship leader, whatever you want to call it, at a great church, one of the Pub Theology's partner churches, Mercy Road up in Carmel.
Mercy Road.
Been there a couple of times.
He's
nice
got
place.
A smoking hot wife and a small chihuahua.
Wow. Thank you. Just threw that out there, didn't you?
Yeah, I do what I can.
To my right, your left, is a brand new guest to the podcast. We're so excited. She works for Pub Theology. She is the lead administrator, keeping everything straight, keeping everything in order, but she's fresh off the plane from Los Angeles, California.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
She is the curly-haired beauty known world round for her smile, for her charm, and her picky eating.
This is true.
All of it.
It's Becca Berry. Becca Berry. Welcome to the podcast, Becca.
Thank you. It is great to be here with all of you.
It's a special moment for you, right?
Your hair is
very
so huge.
Very special, man.
Yeah.
So
special.
Nice.
Special.
And if you listen really close, by the way, I'm Smiley. I'm the local DJ here in town. But there is a baby in the background. That is a little Noah. That's my 7-month son. So you might hear him in the background as
baby
well.
Baby on board.
That's right. We broadcast from my bedroom all the time.
Mm. And for you concerned mothers, he is on a padded alphabet right now.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Learning
mother-in-law,
alphabet.
Suzette is here. Everything's good. Nanny Charity is here.
He's got Charity, the nanny, and the mother-in-law. Everybody's well taken care of.
Wow. Yeah, I can't take care of this kid myself.
Overcared
That's
for.
The varsity staff.
Yeah.
It really is. Mm-hmm. It's like when they leave, it's like the freshman squad comes in.
I know.
Also known as Dave.
Summertime is here. You guys are feeling good.
Loving it.
Yes.
Yeah, so nice. It's been really humid, very hot.
Lots of rain.
Yeah, lots of rain, which is good. I bought a pool, above ground pool. I know you're thinking like white trash, right?
Right. Oh,
you know?
Totally
was thinking that. Yeah.
And I set it up in my backyard, and the rule number one is like flat surface.
Oh. Yeah.
I did not I don't have a flat surface back there.
Right. So you have You have a deep end.
Yeah, it didn't go up very well.
Yeah, I saw the pictures, and you look like you had an inflation problem. How come it didn't get to full like
height? It just didn't work out. But know that if you buy one of these things from Costco or whatever, you have to have a flat surface.
It's not going to happen.
Yep.
You want to see my flat surface? Pub Theology, brought to you by
Distinctive Diamonds.
What's on your mind? What are you guys thinking about?
I can't say it.
Why is that?
Is it too personal?
There's some heavy things we're going to talk about today.
Mm. Oh, what is that? We're going to get right into it.
No, I don't know. I don't want to put my floaties on for the deep end just yet.
We got to shallow in, splash in, splash around. Mm. You can't just jump in. You can't dive in. It's not a cannonball episode. Mm-hmm.
Get right to it. Let's go. Podcast, baby.
Podcast.
We don't have commercials here.
Nah.
commercials. We're commercial free this hour.
All the time.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. If you're looking for diamonds, if you're looking for rubies, if you're looking for gold, silver, platinum, whatever you have as part of your jewelry needs, head over to Eli and the good folks at Distinctive Diamonds over in Keystone, right by the David Wolf Green Bridge.
Let's see. I'm trying to figure it out. Is it like you? Are you going to have a baby?
No.
I don't know. He's really wishy-washy here. I'm looking at him kind of fumbling around.
It's like, emotional.
He's going to cry?
He's turning red. He's crying.
Wow,
what's
now
happening?
I'm going to cry.
Are you going to have a baby?
Oh, no.
Eric, you pregnant?
Oh, you geez. Are divorced.
Yes. He looks
you
a little
like
more
your
curvy.
Wife anymore.
No.
You're leaving E91 like Darren did. You're leaving
it is.
Mercy
it's
Road.
The truth, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Let's see here.
All right. So we have two episodes we want to hit. One of the episodes we're going to talk about self-compassion, which was one of our themes for last month at Pub Theology.
I was there.
Yeah,
I think, right? There. Did you do that at the church thing?
The Mercy Road?
Yeah.
Yes,
that was
I did.
Good. That was deep. I got
deep.
Into it, though.
It was.
You wrote that letter thing.
Yeah.
Mm. I still have it. Well, I finally threw it away. I was going to read it.
Yeah, but you decided, nah. Why help
like,
myself?
Dear Lord, what was it all about? Like, what was the sermon about?
So back in the month of May, right, again, we can hit this. We talked about this concept of self-compassion. So I've been going to some counseling, right, guys?
Right.
I got some issues.
Totally fine. We all do.
Don't I know that?
But yeah. I know, right? Yeah. So I'm not telling you anything you don't know, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know.
So
that.
Going to
just
my counselor.
Just because you're a preacher doesn't mean you got it all figured out.
Yeah, trust me.
You have it figured out less, I think, as a
You're probably worse than a lot of heathens.
This is
non-Christian people.
Yeah.
Like, I know. Listen, you're worse than me. And I'm a terrible person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
bottom of the barrel.
I'm bottom of the barrel, and you're worse than me.
I'm the dirt. I'm the dirt the barrel sits on.
Yeah.
Eric, not great. He probably is going to cry here in a second. I don't know why.
Just started.
This is getting weird. Things are weird here today.
It's fine. Get weird. Hashtag. No. So we're talking about self-compassion. So I've been going to my counselor, right? And she's helping me understand this, is that we as human beings, and me particular, okay, we usually go back and forth between either thinking that we're like the greatest thing since sliced bread. So we think great things about ourselves and we don't think we ever mess up. This is kind of like the American Idol syndrome, right? Like the person that literally can't sing a lick, but they think they're great, and they show up and they're terrible, and then the judges are like, you can't sing, and then they cry and get all upset.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're like that, but most of us, we actually kind of deal with the different pain in our life by massive self-criticism. So we're really mean to ourselves, right? So when we were at Mercy Road this past month, I actually had everybody text in some like phrases, like how do you usually like what are the names that you call yourself when you screw up? Like you're driving somewhere, you get lost, maybe you forget to call somebody back, you do something dumb and make your spouse mad or your roommate mad, like you say things to yourself.
Douchebag.
Yeah, okay, there you go. What about you, Eric? When you're mad at yourself, what do you call yourself?
J-hole.
J-hole?
Okay. Mm.
Like a jerk hole.
Oh.
Mm. But I don't want to say jerk out loud.
Oh, yeah.
J-hole? I'm glad you say that.
So I abbreviate.
Thank you for censoring that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait. Edit that, Joey. Jerk hole could sound like something totally different.
Yeah.
Well, not as bad as douchebag.
Douchebag is terrible. But we do say it on the radio. I figure we are okay. I don't know what the rules are here with the podcast.
I think we have less rules.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure.
Yeah. Douchebag works.
You can't control me. I'm a radio guy.
You're a free man. This is America.
That's right.
It's almost 4th of July. Becca, what about you?
I would say I tend to be more sarcastic. So I'm like, wow, you're a genius, but I didn't mean it.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
you're
that's
being sarcastic. Like, you're a genius loser.
Yeah. You idiot. Yeah.
Dingbat.
Dingbat.
You doofus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No. So she's got it. Okay.
No, I understand. Right.
It's not pile on.
Yeah, sorry. Please, sorry. Well.
I thought we were going to team up on this. No,
I hate you. So dumb.
Guys,
you stink.
Let's get on this.
No, so you're saying we're hard on each other.
Yeah,
or
like
ourselves,
you say things to yourself that you would never say to your friend. Like for me, like I'll call myself a freaking idiot. Like mm-hmm. you're so stupid. Like I'm mm-hmm. such a moron or a jackass. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
And I'll beat myself up pretty severely when I do stuff. So I ask, you know, the people at the church that Sunday, like, hey, text us in some stuff that you say to yourself, right? So here was some stuff that came in, right? Here was one said, you're so irresponsible. You'll never be able to accomplish anything. You already know you're not going to get into medical school. So why do you even try? So why even bother? Here's one. I'm a failure as a woman. I could be better as a wife or a mother. I'm unworthy. I'm undeserving. I'm a failure. I usually call myself a stupid idiot. I'm such an idiot. Call myself arrogant, mean, selfish, dumb, foolish, weak, you worthless idiot. Like, wow. This is what people are saying, wow. Like, when they get mad at stuff, this is what they say to themselves, like, in their minds.
Yeah.
And then, but, like, think about it. I mean, think about if you, somebody at work, friend, neighbor, somebody that you just really don't like, if they came to you and were like, hey, Eric, dude, I did this, you know, I got fired from work, or I didn't turn in this project or something. I mean, even if you dislike the person, mm-hmm. you're probably not to their face being like, bro, you're such a worthless freaking idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We would never say that to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. No, no. Yeah. Just out of common courtesy, right? Like, that would feel really bad if I said that to somebody. But we don't even tap the brakes on saying that to ourselves when true. we've actually, you know what I mean? Like, there's some stuff in our life where we really, you know, we really mess up. We really screw up a relationship or... You know, maybe something happens and we get fired. I remember I got fired from a job in college once, but that's not for here nor there. But, you know.
And East 91st Street Church.
Yeah, I mean, for the white,
so radical.
The white belt situation.
The white belt.
Just happened. Just happened.
Too much.
It was too much. They had to get me, had to let me go.
Yeah, you want to pound this?
Bang.
Eric and I are pounding each other. So.
Hello.
I was waiting for him to bust that joke out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He was trying to restrain himself because I told him we got in trouble for it. Anyway, is you know, you have things that really do cause yourself pain, and then instead of being compassionate to yourself and saying, hey, you know what, listen, I can understand that would have happened, we just destroy ourselves. And so I've been realizing that's a pretty unhealthy pattern in my life. And then, I mean, I thought probably a lot of people might feel the same way, but, man, I was pretty overwhelmed that Sunday when – you know, when we ask for some text messages and all of a sudden, you know, here comes mm-hmm. all these mm-hmm. comments where it's like, wow, this is a real deal, you know?
Yeah.
Anybody could jump in there too and just, jump in and, you know, kind of thought.
I do that too. Yeah. On Facebook.
And everybody's checking Facebook.
So, trust me, like, I know how it feels.
No big deal. We're just on the radio.
But I, you know, you can edit all this stuff, so it's all good. But I'm with you on this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I do. Good. Appreciate it. You guys are just killing it, really. We're warmed
you.
Up.
Thank
we're
you.
Really
warming
on top
up.
Of it. Mm.
Well, tasty. You know, I don't have anything to say about what you're talking about. So when I'm ready to talk about something I want to talk about, which is booze mm-hmm. and food, mm-hmm. Twizzlers.
Twizzlers ooh. Are disgusting. I mean,
hey, have you ever had the Twizzlers that have the little like jelly
yes,
fillings?
I don't like them.
No.
I don't like them.
How come?
Those are the only Twizzlers that are good.
I disagree.
Is the texture?
Young
is
lady.
It a texture problem?
I just don't like the flavor. Feel. It doesn't seem...
Just a floppy cherry plastic.
But going back to what you're talking about, I actually had a lot of people tell me later that week about your message that the God of compassion is also the God of compassion for us.
Yeah.
That it starts with us. You know, that's something that, like you were saying earlier, we don't even stop the brakes when it comes to what we would say to ourselves.
Yeah.
But we're willing to offer this compassion to other people, but it doesn't seem to start with us.
Mm-mm.
That's just interesting to me. Becca, you're yes. on the air here with
I'm
us.
I'm on the air.
And you're somebody who watched that sermon online. Can you tell us about your experience even listening to that message online? Because I remember you telling me about that.
Yes. I watched online because I was very sick. I'm better now, and I'm not contagious, so
good.
You're welcome.
Mononucleosis also passes in time.
That's good.
Yes, but I did watch online, and I had to see it through my tears, because I think sometimes I don't realize how hard I really am on myself. I think I try to be encouraging and loving to other people, and that's okay, but when I think I self-talk to myself, it tends to be very negative, and it tends to be this perfectionist attitude. And so to just kind of get that reminder that God really does love me and that he does have that compassionate, tender voice towards me, which is hard to accept sometimes. But for me, that reminder just really kind of broke me down because I tend to struggle with perfection. And so it was a really good reminder for me that,
on the other side of things, I mean, being hard on yourself makes you better. What do you think about that?
That's true too.
I mean, you've met the people that are like thinking I'm the best thing that ever happened. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah,
listen, I'm hard on myself, but I also want to be better. Yeah. All the time.
Well, I think I think there's a difference between saying, like, I can say, listen, you could have done better at that. Mm-hmm. I expect you, you know, like self-talk. I expect you to do your best you can. You could have done better at that. Push yourself. Don't be, you know, you can give yourself a pep talk, and I think, and be, you know, like when I, like, for instance, I coach, you know, youth sports, right? So like last night I had a semifinal game.
You just rough them up.
You know, I just punched the kids right in the nose.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Kids that need to be.
If you're an 8-year-old and you mess up
like
a ground
Diddy's
ball.
Kid. Yo,
Diddy's kid. Yeah. Right.
Beat it. Oh. Do better.
Just take him.
Yep. I was hanging out with a military chaplain last year, and his son is in soccer.
Okay.
And the chaplain is the coach.
Yeah.
And the kid got, you know, he got kicked in the junk with the ball.
Okay.
And he was like, what's wrong, son? Because he's crouched over. He goes, did you get kicked in the privates? He's used to military culture. Yeah. He goes, no, Dad, I got kicked in the general.
Hello.
Hello.
But I'm Ching. All right.
Keep
we
that
are
in,
weekend.
Joey V.
That's fine.
Tip your weight, Steph.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think so. Like for me with youth sports, like there's times where the kids last night, we lost in the semifinals. It's sad, right? I was upset at the kids because we could have done better.
Is this baseball? What
it was baseball.
About?
Yeah. Baseball. Yeah. Baseball. Football starts in a couple weeks, but it was baseball. My middle son, Ty, we made it to the semifinals. We should have won. We were playing the 8th seeded team. Mm. We're the 4th seeded team. Mm. By the numbers, we should have won.
Right? Wait a minute. How old are these kids?
8 and 7.
Sorry.
7 and
the,
8.
The title was getting pretty big there for 8-year-olds.
Yes. Wow. Sorry. Yeah. 7 and 8. Anyway.
I was intimidated.
Well, you should have been.
Okay.
They're about your size, Eric.
I mean, they made some mistakes, and I wanted these kids, obviously, you know, my job is to develop them, help them be better players and better, you know, better young men and everything. But the difference is, like, some of them are making mistakes, and, you know, I spoke to them even, you know, somewhat passionately about, like, listen, you got to, you know, like, addressing the situation. Hey, listen, you got to get down on the ball. You can't, you know, you can't go off to the side there, shift your weight over, like coaching them what they should do. And
like
being
a Rudy moment.
Yeah. I mean, like being aggressive on, this is the way you need to do it correctly. But then I didn't end it with, you freaking moron. Mm-hmm. You can't play the game right. Mm-hmm. You're such an idiot. Like, why don't you try to step it up and actually act like you have some sense on the baseball field? But if I would have spoken like that, I mean, like, I remember I've got a buddy who, he remembers literally the day he was playing travel baseball. High school kid, he remembers the day that his high school coach just totally bitched him out, and, you know, and not just, hey, you didn't swing well, or but it was like, you know, it was more identity type of statements to him.
Yeah.
You're this, and whatever, and it literally made him not want to play the game anymore, right? Because of how aggressively this coach criticized him. So I think, like, you know, we can be hard on ourselves and say, like, I want to do my best every opportunity I get, whether it's in, you know, relationships, at work, in marriage, in friendship, I mean, whatever. But I'm just amazed at how, you know, almost just mean-spirited I can be and how I treat myself. And it moves past, like, let's do a better job to, you're a terrible person.
Yeah.
You know? And I was going through.
By the way, I'm a terrible person.
You're not. Well, I went through and I was thinking about, like, okay, what's the most basic command that we have from God, right? I mean, Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself.
As yourself, yeah.
So our ability to love people around us.
I don't have any neighbors.
This island you've constructed is quite impressive.
Yeah, so.
We're actually underground.
Bomb
right
shelter.
For the podcast, yeah.
Deep in the earth here in Indiana.
That's right.
I'm actually wearing a gas mask just in case.
It's amazing how clear you sound through that gas mask.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anyway, is if you don't actually, like, you're only going to love other people in your life to really the level that you love yourself. And that's what first got me started on this thought of, like, now, wait a second. Like, how do I love myself? And do I love myself with the same compassion that God loves me with, right? So here's our little scriptural moment for our podcast, and then we'll descend into some other randomness.
Pretty pebbles,
lucky charms, things of this nature. But it's in Psalm 103 was the scripture I used for that day, and here's what this says: pretty cool passage of scripture talking about God. So here's how he loves us, and if we could learn to love ourselves the same way that he does, it would start to make a pretty massive change. Here's what it says in Psalm 103. It says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he's done for me. He forgives all my sins and he heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things and my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly, and he reveals his character. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel." Listen to this. Here's where it gets pretty cool. "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. His unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. But our days on the earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. And man, as I read that, I was just like, man, if I stopped and if I could actually begin to extend God's love to myself, like, okay, he's slow to get angry. He's full of compassion. He forgives my sins. He heals my disease. He has unfailing love. And what really made sense to me, and Dave, you know, I'm thinking you're probably experiencing this in the past seven months. It's like we talks about that, like, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. Like, I was thinking back through, and I talked about this at Mercy Road, like, I can remember when my kids learning to walk, right? And, like, all of my boys have massive heads.
They really do.
Yeah, they're like bowling balls on their heads. And Dave, I don't want to, you know, talk down to your son. I don't know if you've noticed. But he has a very large head. Have you noticed?
He might be cross-eyed too. I'm not sure.
Kind of like
head by a mule.
He's right over there. I mean, you can hear him in the background.
He's kind of like a googly eye.
Say hello to it.
Yeah, he's got a big head though.
Yeah, it's large, right?
He's like, I can't even walk. It's so heavy.
Yeah, exactly.
I heard him say that.
He told me.
I got a heavy head.
He needs a life helmet.
Guess who's got a heavy heart?
Who?
Me.
That just happened.
Yep. But go ahead. I'm ruining your bits. Go ahead. Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
That's why I'm on the radio.
Ew, he's quick. He's witty. He's funny. Your son does have a massive cranium.
He's
and
huge.
When he starts to walk, right, or tries to walk, what you'll notice with my boys is that if their head got off center, right, like either behind them or in front of them,
no.
It was
false.
Over.
Falls to the ground.
Yeah, they were head first into the ground.
That can't be good.
It's not good.
He hurts himself pretty bad.
You'll be amazed at how many scars and bumps and bruises Noah's forehead will have in the next 18 months.
Oh, my, my.
Yeah,
I
might want to just put a football helmet on.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Anyway. You guys have kids, too?
Negative.
Oh, yeah. No.
Eric?
Not
Becca?
Single and ready to mingle. Meow.
Hello.
Meow.
You want to put out your social media information right now just in case?
Yeah,
I would.
This is Becca, and I've got a huge head of hair.
I do, and also a huge head underneath it.
Hello.
Yeah,
lots
if you
want to
catch
power.
Me on social media.
And a huge bosom.
I am the...
She's got pretty lips.
The pub.
She's got a nose ring.
Producer. Yeah, I've got a nose ring.
We got distracted. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. I was looking at your nose ring.
Oh, yeah.
It's good.
No, you got to keep an eye on this Darren guy. Sorry. He starts talking about girls and bosoms.
Come on.
Like a weird
hey, you mentioned her
you
bosoms.
You did.
Oh, it was
yeah.
me. Oh, yeah. It was my bad.
I was going with hair, eyes, and nose ring.
Yeah.
So Noah's got this huge head. Falls down all the time.
Falls down.
It's terrible.
You can't distract. You talked about Becca's bosoms.
That's right.
I'm calling HR.
There's no HR. It's a podcast.
Oh, okay.
My mom's going to listen to this. I told her.
Tell her I said hi.
I'll
tell your mama I said hi.
I'll tell her thanks for blessing me.
Your mom has bosoms.
She does.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag
Becca is dumb.
Stop hashtagging blessed.
Bosoms.
It's ridiculous.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Becca, let's put out your social media connections just in case anybody wants to connect with you.
She said, talking about big head babies.
I know, but she said she was single and ready to mingle.
Yeah. Can you just give me a moment?
Okay.
You guys
are
all together.
We're trying to get somewhere here.
Sorry. Noah starts walking, right? he's going to tumble, he's going to fall, his big head's going to get him off balance. My guess is that first couple times, or the first, you know,
like,
3 or 4 months.
Come on, dummy.
Right.
Get like, up.
You big-headed moron. You're so dumb. Loser. You're so clumsy. That's not going to happen.
No. Negative.
Right? Never. You're going to have this compassion because you're excited that, listen, I understand
it. Noah.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, and I think we would feel foolish, right, is if we had a, you know, something going on in our life and we actually spoke to ourselves the way our you know, father spoke to us, you know what I mean? Or your mother, maybe you didn't have a great situation with your father, but, you know, or maybe your mother. But if you think about
Are
the way...
Are you talking to me?
Cats in the cradle and the seal. It hurts,
man
son.
In the moon.
It hurts. No, but I mean, it's not often I think about God treating me like that. Like, I think about, a lot of times I think about God, it's like, he's holy, he's awesome, he's mighty, he's probably disappointed in me, he's looking down on me, he thinks I could do so much better. But when you read, it's like, that's what I think about God. But I read what the Bible says, it's like, well, the Bible says he's slow to get angry, he's compassionate, he's merciful, and he treats me the way, you know, a loving father would his son. And I think if we could start, like, you look at some of those, you know, descriptions in that, it's like, can you imagine in your own life if you were like, you know what, like this part about not being, you know, forgiving, like what if I forgave myself from my sins? What if I could actually fill my life with good things? It's like, what if I could stop constantly accusing myself, or not remain angry at myself forever, or stop punishing myself for all my sins, or stop dealing harshly with myself? Like, if you look through that and started thinking about what would change in the way that I could love myself and the way I would treat others, that'd be, I think, a pretty massive change in the way that I interact and feel on an everyday basis.
That's true. This is going to throw everything off here, but when I go to church sometimes, I was like, is God angry at me? What about the people that don't even know for sure that God exists? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I know you, as a pastor, you can't just preach every day about like why God does exist. But when you go there and you like preach the thing about the whole thing, it's like, is God angry at me? God angry at me? I don't even know for sure that he's really around.
Hmm. That's a good point.
This is random.
Mm. No, it's not.
What
it's
are you going to say with that? Yeah.
So I went to church on Sunday and you were talking about this thing. It's like, you kept talking about that. It's like, I'm not even there yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, okay. Mm, I get you saying.
So he's like, you're God angry at me? I don't even know for sure if God is there.
Yeah.
But do you, as a pastor, do you have to? Can you preach that all the time? I mean, how do you address that? Do you not target those people?
No, we just push them out. Yeah.
It's like, it's like, we're not interested in you people.
No, I think it's a great question. I think you can address it. I think the part of it, you know, I think one of the things that we try to do with Pub Theology is like, I figure that, you know, at any event that we're at, once a month when we're out around town, the newest one's going to be July 9th down at the Rooftop Thursday nights on the Regent's Roof Tower. Thank you very much.
Well played.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Rooftop Thursdays, it's better on top.
Yeah, and if you miss that one, just come down July 17th where we're going to be at District Tap.
Boom.
I'm assuming there's a chunk of people in the audience, you know what I mean? Like at the rooftops, like last month, there was about 900 people up there.
Yeah.
You figure there's a chunk of folks up there that are like...
Probably a small amount though, right?
Well, okay. I don't know.
They're coming to the event. They probably believe. So,
if they're really on it. I mean,
there.
It wasn't our event. We hosted it. So yeah. They might have just shown up.
Yeah. Where they're hosting musical bingo. Yeah. So you figure there's a ton of folks there that are like, yeah, I don't even know that I believe there's a God. And if I do, and I think there's people that like, I don't believe at all.
Yeah.
Or I think there's maybe a higher power or something running the show.
The reason I say this, because when I'm on the radio, I always think about, you know, they don't really know us. They're a new listener. So you have to always constantly reset things.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a new guy. I'm the smiley guy. It's like, maybe you don't. You know, so I think that way. Maybe not. That's not a big deal.
No, I think
maybe
it's a great perspective.
I think it's a really whole good, podcast good off deal.
Right. No, it didn't, because I think I'm glad you brought it up, because I think sometimes if we've been following Jesus and believing for, like, for me, I came to Christ when I was like 6 or 7. So for 30 years, I've been living in this frame of mind that like, I believe that God exists. I believe that he's loving, and I believe his name is Jesus. But if you're not there, it's tough for me, I think, sometimes to get to that place of thinking, okay, what if I'm not there yet? And that's what I'm saying. We try to do at our Pup Theology events is at least like just give you a thought, like, hey, could there be a God and could he be compassionate? And then invite people back to the invitation, which is our dinner night, where like we can sit down and have a conversation to say, okay, like hit us with whatever questions you have, and let's try to give you some resources to read a book or maybe read some articles on the internet or talk to some people to say,
I think
okay,
number one question for everybody that's not going to church is like, why, you know, how do we know for sure?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. that's the number one thing I think that most people is like, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Magic. Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think, so that I guess that's what you do with pop theology and going to bars and talking to people and start with that mm-hmm. because I think that's the number one question.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lot about an experience with him. So if you haven't experienced him, then
experience is the new relationship.
A lot of
things. Used to be always like, I have a relationship with God.
Yeah, like I've experienced him. I've experienced a life change.
What did you experience?
For me, I've experienced lots of abuse in my life and lots of anxiety growing up and kind of constructing my life in a way that I thought I should build it because I am going to be in control of my life. And it turns out I did not have control of my life.
This is like drugs you're talking about.
I know. I know. I don't like to be out of control. It's true.
Are you okay with this?
It's true. So my life basically fell apart. I was in a deep depression, wasn't really sure what I needed to do or where I needed to be, but constantly was seeking God because I did grow up in a family who believed, but for me, it was experiencing a freedom from depression. For me, it was experiencing this peace that I had never had. It was a lot of experiences. People had told me many times, well, this and this and that, but it doesn't mean anything to me if I personally didn't experience it. So I think a lot of times, sometimes if you can just open yourself up and ask a question, okay, God, if you're there, I want to experience you. I believe that God shows up when we ask him to.
Great question, Dave, and to realize that that's where a lot of people are. And I think the cool part that I would say is the connection back to this self-compassion piece is the Word of God says that it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. And I think so often we think that, like, you know, God's judgmental, God's mad, God's whatever. So, you know, it's like that fear is what's going to lead us back to him. But I love the fact that the Bible says, like, it's his kindness and compassion that leads us to repentance. And that word repentance seems like sometimes a negative connotation, like, oh, that's when you get sad and sit in ashes and sackcloth or whatever, or you beat yourself up and feel terrible at what you did. But the word basically just means to change your mind. And so if you come to a place where going, like, right now, I don't believe that God exists. But if it's his compassion and kindness that leads us to repentance, it's like, I think if someone that's listening today to the podcast, you know, jump into Psalm 103 and put your name in that passage of scripture and see if reading that doesn't start to bring you to a place where, like, man, if this is how God is, maybe I need to change my mind about it. Maybe he really does exist.
Call it magic. Cut me into two. And with all your
it's neat too that we serve a God who may not say test me, but he does say test my ways. You can try the ways of God that are taught throughout scripture, and he invites you to test that. Try tithing, try being a generous person instead of a hoarder. Test me in the ways of laying down your life for another and tell me it doesn't bring more meaning to your life than living for yourself. And I also think that you can test the community of God. I hate to say it, but you know, my wife and I both came from addiction backgrounds and just different backgrounds where we found a family in Christ that was better than the community we belonged to. And so we decided we were going to choose one community over another because there was love, there was forgiveness. It wasn't like they were perfect, but they were very graceful. They were willing to accept us as we were. Whereas the other one was very demeaning, degrading, competitive, cruel, spirited, a lot like what you're talking about, Darren. So what you're saying in your head, I felt like there was a time where my friends, they said that about me just as much as I said that about me. I changed families. I stepped into a group of Christians where there was grace. There was actually room to grow. There was, you know what? Yeah, I'm not perfect either. Let's figure it out together. And it's a different culture. I don't know. But God does so that you can test him in his ways as well. And I like that because if you're someone who doesn't believe in God, you could even start there. Mm-hmm. What is it that God tells me are his ways? Maybe I'll just see if that works better for my life than what America is telling me right now.
Yeah. So if you're one of those people, you're welcome in our circles, and we're actually we're looking for you. And so come see us maybe July 9th down on the rooftop, the Regent's rooftop. Rooftop Thursday nights.
I won't go there unless you have wine.
It's there.
Oh, okay. There's lots of classy wines.
This is
the best boxed wine.
Mm, yeah.
This is, but yeah, Rooftop Thursday nights. It's just one of our big event parties.
What's the date on that one?
It's Thursday, July 9th.
July 9th. Okay.
Regent's Rooftop. Oh. DJ No is there.
What day is that?
It's a Thursday.
Thursday, okay. After 4th of July weekend.
Yes.
After my birthday weekend.
Whoa. Yes.
July 3rd is my birthday.
Party time.
Don't forget to send me something to 2029 East. I almost gave out my address.
Hashtag Boone's Farm coming your way,
Smiley.
Hey,
the Boone's.
Only the best.
But come down and see us. It's just a big party on the rooftop. If you get there before, if you get there before 8 o'clock, there's no cover. You can be a part of that. Well, it's not our event. It's Regions.
Oh,
it's
right?
Oasis Events, 317 Events, partnering with them. But then come see us also July 17th.
Better watch yourself, though. Darren will next thing is talking to you, and you're going to be all Jesus freak-ish.
Careful. Careful what happens.
Going to church all the time.
But come see us July 17th.
Man.
July 17th at the District Tap, if you'd like to come see us there. And if you have questions, you have doubts, we're here to hang out, to chat with you, to help you figure those out. And listen, if you don't like our answers, we'll still love you.
Go to hell. Literally. Pub Theology, brought to you by
Distinctive Diamonds. If you're looking to get a ring, a necklace, a bracelet, whatever you need, there's no other place to go than the one, the only, the Distinctive Diamonds.
Yeah!
He loved me enough just to set this sinner free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me.